Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Donald Trump endorsed by the National Rifle Association.
The Second Amendment is just wrong.
Guns don't kill people. The government does.
Happy Monday to each and every one of you.
The following radio show was done in one take.
We'll do it live!
That is not appropriate behavior.
And away we go on the Trex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world on KGORadio.com and as the sun sets over the entire Western United States. Good evening and welcome to the show. Lisa Durden is on the line. Hallelujah.
What's happening?
Bill Cosby's happening. I guess he's in a lot of trouble. He's a lot of doo-doo.
And it stinks.
It does. So this just coming down today, let me see, it is the 24th. Yes, Pennsylvania judge ruled that there is enough evidence for Bill Cosby to stand trial on the sexual assault charges stemming from the 2004 incident. So what do you say?
I say, woohoo! And I told people on Facebook back, a couple of months ago when they were kicking my back in. You know, black folks, I know that I'm black. And I know that people know that I'm black, but all blacks don't think alike. And this might get me kicked out of the black race. I'm going to lose my race card or my black card.
Do you think okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so black people were very angered by the fact that this lady, this is the Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania lady. That
right, Temple University Athletic Department.
Like she, you know, it felt like she, you know, is a liar, like all of them. And they're trying to, the white women are trying to ruin his legacy and all of that. But what they didn't realize is, and I said, oh, no, he's going to go to court for this one, because they didn't realize that she did make that claim back when it happened. But back then, the prosecutor at that time said there was not enough evidence, so the case went cold. All these women didn't just come out of the woodwork to try to get Cosby and screw up his legacy and take his money. She did make that claim at that time.
In 2005, luckily, yes, she went to the police in 2005.
Correct. So luckily, she was within the statute of limitations, and that was met. And what had happened was, the new prosecutor, because of the new situation with Cosby, resurrected the cold case and pulled things out of the archives and opened the case back up. She didn't open the case back up. So black folks, I love y'all, but you're wrong here. Everything is not about race. Everything is not black and or white.
Thank you for saying that. I couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you.
So here's what she said. She said, this is from the 2005 statements read in court. Yes. I was lying on my left side with my knees bent. That is the last thing I remember. I recall Mr. Cosby's body near mine. I was in and out. At some point, the testimony got explicit. I was aware that his hands were on my breast and his fingers were in my vagina. His penis was erect. She stated to police, I don't remember any kissing or any intercourse. She said that Cosby told her the pills were herbal, and she also urged her to sip wine even though she had not eaten and didn't want to drink. Cosby claims right. It was all consensual sexual activity.
Right. And see, the thing is, Melody, you know, people want to argue the fact that, you know, rape victims, quote, could be lying, and they're correct. Anybody could be lying. But you know what? Nobody ever says the racist could be lying. So why is it that automatically in this culture, this race culture we have in America, are we automatically jumping to the conclusion that the victim could be lying when we know 68% of rape victims don't even come forward? So there's about 68% of rapists running out there, running free, who were never charged. And then the low percentage of them who do come forward, most are not liars. So the fact of the matter is, most rapists are liars, like Bill Cosby. And listen, I've told black people on Facebook, I'm telling them here on this show, and I'm telling everybody black that I am standing in solidarity with the women, because see, I'm pro-women more than I am my race. I'm standing in solidarity with them because I could care less if I have no proof or not, because it's many years later, and this might be a little different in this particular case, but because of the numbers, and we know that most rape victims are not lying, I'm okay with solidarity with these women, so that in the event that something comes through that they lie, let's just say hypothetically, am I going to feel guilty because I stood in solidarity with women who said they were raped because one or two might be lying? Absolutely not. I'm going to do it every time because we need to turn the page on this whole disgusting rape culture. So I can't wait for this case to go forward. He's going to be found guilty. This man is going to die in jail. And every black person in America feels like, he's 99,000 years old now. Okay, well, then his brain is going to be coming out of some cinder blocks on cell block 8 in an orange jumpsuit. I want him to die in jail.
Well, you know,
Die in prison.
I'm so glad that you are taking that stand, because there are people in the black community that want to draw racial lines, and it's just, it's exactly what you said. Rape is rape, and so many times it goes unreported because, he could be a white old man, and this would still be going on because rape victims don't want to be pulled through the mud and the muck.
Think about it. This is why they don't look at how we're talking about these women. We're calling them hoes. We're calling them skanks and gold diggers. Nobody's calling Cosby anything, but I am. And here's what I'm going to say. You heard it first on Drek. I can't prove it. I'm just making some assumptions. We've never heard of anybody, any of those cast members who were on the Cosby show back in the day, ever saying he did anything to them. But you know what? I'm sure he did. I know that there are actual victims from the show. Not because I know of anybody in particular, because he erases stuff and stops. They're not going to say he raped me. Lisa Bonet is not going to say he raped me. None of those cast members, Raven Simone and Angela, Keisha Knight Pulliam, is going to say he molested me or raped me and drugged me. But you have to know that if he was drugging and raping women who auditioned from the show, like Beverly Johnson, the model, or random chicks trying to get put on, you think he stopped at people that he gave the job to? I'm thinking he raped some of them too, but they're not going to tell it. I'm telling you this first here. Just think about the math of it all. It just makes sense, and it's very consistent with his personality, which is he's a rapist. You don't stop raping because you now are hiring somebody to be on the show. It's the same thing throughout. It's the same thread throughout. And I'm gonna
Let's talk about the legalities. I mean, the statute of limitations have run out on, I think, all of these ladies, except for this one is the exception because she went to the police in 2005. Whole different story.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It changes the entire dynamic.
And so I can't stand when people say, like what they're saying about Cosby or what they've been saying about Cosby once this story broke. Well, where's the proof? Shut the hell up. Just shut the hell up. You all know that when you say, where's the proof, well after the statute, there is no proof. So what the hell are you talking about? It's going to come down to what do you feel happened. And you know we can't try him in the court of public opinion to put him in jail, but I'm trying in the court of public opinion for me to stand in solidarity with the women. There was nobody until her that could literally press charges against him in a court of law.
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire. And by the way, he didn't discriminate when it came to races. If you were female, that was good enough.
But you know what's so funny? Of the one or two blacks who were in the mix, or maybe one or two Latinas, you know, blacks, before they saw one or two, were like, oh, those white women. And, you know, we're the biggest, our race of people can't stand being discriminated against. But it's the abused becoming the abuser. The minute a bunch of white women say a black man did something, now they're saying those white women. So, like, you can't tell me that you are people who've been abused and then you are going to be the abuser. Like, really? Does it matter the race of the female? Does it matter?
All right, let's move along while we're on the race card, and then we can get off of it. Then we get to the fun stuff. Freddie Gray verdict, Officer Edward Nero not guilty.
Correct, really?
Yeah. Now,
Was it going to be a guilty verdict? Did you think there would be?
No. I expect the guy who was driving the van to be convicted or indicted. I really do. Nero was one of the six officers charged on and the second to be tried in the Gray case, and he was accused of second-degree intentional assault with two counts of misconduct, and he was actually one of the three bike officers involved in the initial police encounter that day. I expect an indictment from the van with the van driver.
I think we need to start with first things first. When Freddie Gray was on the street getting choked out by officers before the van, he kept saying, I can't breathe.
I can't breathe, right.
Let's stop right there. I mean, I do think the van driver should be held accountable as well. But before the van scenario, the man kept saying over and over, he was lying, because to be a black man standing on the corner, a big black man, too tall, big dark-skinned black man, you're automatically menacing. You're automatically criminal. You're not somebody that might, and I'm not saying this never happens to whites. Of course it does. But by the same percentages that happen to blacks, absolutely not. It can't be compared. So this is the minds of the police officers. Like, if I were a cop and this so-called criminal was screaming, as I'm doing this choking thing that's illegal, that they can't breathe, I wouldn't take a chance that they're lying. I would just simply arrest them and take them to the hospital. And, you know, when you go to the hospital under arrest, you're actually in the handcuffs at the hospital. You're not going to get away. The cops are standing there. Because I wouldn't want to take that chance. But they kept on doing it because they didn't believe him. Why? Because he's a big black man on the corner in the streets of New York. So that's called intentional murder. You, like, premeditatedly murdered him. You kept on choking him.
Well,
the weapon was your arm. The weapon was your stick. The weapon was your pressure around his neck.
And then not restrain that. And then not restraining him in the van, where I think that's where his neck was broken.
I mean, look at Adno Luima. They knocked on this man's door and they plunged this man in jail with sticks and they sodomized this man. The man, they chained this man's house, totally innocent man, into the man's house. There was nothing suspicious going on, and they arrested this man and they plunged this man with all kinds of sticks and things anally. You saw, I mean, this is an ongoing thing. This is nothing new. You saw the guy in California, the one that says, oh, can we all get along? I keep forgetting his name. Okay.
Rodney King.
When they got him down, the video showed them continually beating the man. He was not resisting arrest. And even on video, you saw it, like Freddie Gray. And they did not get arrested, nor were they found guilty of murder. Well, he didn't get murdered.
Well, Rodney King was, Rodney King was outrageous, yes. Well, they both are. I mean, not to negate, but you went back to Rodney King for a second.
Hello?
And yes, I'm here. And so remember
hello?
With hello, are we there? Can you
hello?
Hear me? Hello? Oh, we might have to call her back. All right, let's call her back. I'll keep talking. We just lost our line. But with Rodney King, he did not die, but the city burned because, as we all recall, that was the first time that we actually, that was the day, and that was the gilded original age of videotape. And when we actually saw what was happening with a bunch of Los Angeles police officers, who, as I recall, and I think even to this day, they will admit they were corrupt as hell back in the day, they did take advantage of people. And they beat the hell out of him. And all hell broke loose as L.A. burned. Jeez, let's please, dear Lord, hope that that does not happen when it comes to the city of Baltimore. All right, let's see here if
he did.
Okay. Hang on, everybody. Lisa Durden,
hello?
Take two, Lisa Durden.
Well, where did I end?
I was just explaining how this all originated with Rodney King, and that was the first time that we actually got to see the beatings, somebody get the hell beat out of them by the police officers, and L.A. burned for that.
Yes, and you know, when you see the Rodney King video, now again, I don't remember the details of the thing. Maybe he was doing something suspicious or whatever. That's fine. Here's what I'm thinking.
He was shady.
Right, he might have been doing something shady. The police officer's job is to actually fight crime. So, no, it's not shocking when you run up on somebody who might be doing some kind of, like, traffic stop and they're doing something illegal or somebody might be stealing. So you're going to run up on people who might be guilty of a crime. In the case of maybe Rodney King, might have been doing some small criminal activity. And in the case of Freddie Gray, was doing nothing. But even if a person is committing a crime, you know, and then you subdue them. Stop right effing there.
But in today's world, Lisa, it's so different because everybody has a phone. Going on with Mario Woods here in the city of San Francisco. There's 20 different shots of it. Freddie Gray, everybody's got a shot of it. You know, so there's no denying what the reality and the truth is.
Exactly. But again... You know, and this is why racism, in this case, this is racism. So this is why racism can be very ugly. You know, no matter how much a person sees the facts, even visually, the hate for race is so intense that even your eyeballs are racist. When your eyeballs are racist, mother clocker, that's my word when I don't want to say the real curse. Mother clocker.
Mother clocker.
When your eyeballs is are racist, mother clucker.
All right. On that note, let's go to the Billboard Music Awards and Madonna paying tribute to Prince. Okay, maybe off an octave, maybe a little pitchy, but Madge, what do you think?
A little pitchy, Drex.
Okay, maybe an octave off. I don't know.
Are you now deaf as well?
No. I have. There's two different things. Here's a look inside Drex's mind. So when I'm watching it, I'm in the moment. In the moment that I was watching, I was looking for the majesty and the majestic realism of what it was. It was a tribute to Prince. So my mind was thinking about Prince, and I was trying to wrap my brain around it. Now, after it was over, and when Stevie Wonder came out, I thought, okay, what the hell? What did I just see? A couple things. First of all, why'd she pick that song? Yes, she wrote, that song was written, Prince wrote that for Sinead O'Connor, big hit. But why start with something like that? I mean, we want to remember him for Let's Go Crazy, When Doves Cry, 1999. Why didn't you come out, you know, roaring instead of that?
Did you not see my tweet the night before? You must have been on my Twitter handle, because that's exactly what I wrote. What about Let's Go Crazy? We want to go crazy. Let's get crunk.
Right.
Let's Go Crazy. Where's I Will Die For You? Where are his major hits that we're familiar with?
Right.
The dancers. The nudity, the debauchery. Where is it?
And it's not like Madonna doesn't know it. She could have came out and sang Erotic, for Christ's sake.
Hello.
Right. Hello.
Wait a minute, boo. To cap off the snoozer, you have Stevie Wonder meander out on stage and start. Watch this guy just scream. Oh, God, hang me now. Hang me now. It was a disaster. I love Stevie Wonder. And if it were a tribute to
I do too.
Mr. Franklin or somebody from the Motown sound, then I want to see Stevie Wonder. I don't want boring Stevie Wonder. Unless if he had been on the piano, that might have been cool. Like, play something with fine. But they didn't do that. Like, I don't want to see that.
Well, today she says she doesn't care. She said, deal with it. Anyone who wants to do a tribute to Prince is welcome to. You're welcome to it. Whatever your age,
well,
gender, or skin color.
People,
you loved
I mean,
him. He inspired
know.
Me. Then show it. You do it. I love Prince forever.
Listen, white people. If you want to see a real tribute to Prince, BET Award is coming on in June. And they do a bang-up job. They have a lot of bad content on their show, on their network. But they do a very good job with all award shows. They
now,
are the number one people in the business, so they're doing one to...
I'm going to tell you something. Lisa Durden, they better step up and they better hit it out of the park, because I'm sure you saw the commercial that ran during the Billboard Music Awards with the picture of Prince with the symbol and the ticker on the bottom and said, don't worry, we saw it too. We gotcha.
Yeah, that was the shade.
That was big shade.
No, shade. Listen, they throw shade because they can, because beyond this tribute, I'm not saying it's because it's Prince or the tribute sucks up on Billboard or that they're black. I watch BET's award shows, all of them, all of the time, and they've done other tributes over the years, and they're always phenomenal, so they're going to knock it out the park. So all of you Prince lovers of all races, genders, ages, sexual orientations, you know, if you never watched BET, I think it was June 26th, but go online, look it up, and you need to be in the place, because you're going to see how you really do a tribute to Prince. And you're going to probably see, I can guess I'm a producer, you're going to see some people singing some songs, a bunch of people on stage at one time doing some kind of medley. You're going to see some a package of him, you know, video of his life and time of Prince and some clips of this and clips of that. It's going to be awesome. It'll be about a 2 or 3 minute thing, maybe 5 minute thing. It's going to be awesome. That was just whack as the word.
Well, I have a school of thought on this, and I think it goes back to David Bowie's tribute on the Grammys when Lady Gaga did. She tried to do 20 of his greatest hits in 3 minutes,
right.
and she took so much heat for that. I think that the producers of the Billboard Music Awards thought, you know what, let's pick two songs and just hang with that.
That, again, just because somebody does something badly does not mean you do it badly, but you need to do something that, you know, in other words, you can't make that excuse, because if you want to really rock out, follow those who do. They should have been watching some BET Awards, because they've done them to death well. They've done them to death well. So also, I'll go back to the Lady Gaga one. The Lady Gaga one was a terrible, it just wasn't long enough. I thought it was well done.
I thought it was well done. I liked it.
You know, I thought it was well done. I liked the little, she did kind of look like David Bowie. Okay, fine, it was cute. But I thought she's a very good singer. She's a very good entertainer. She's wild enough where I wanted to watch her. And then those 3 minutes were tight, good, entertaining 3 minutes. I was like, oh, it's over. So if I leave saying, oh, it's over, that's different than saying, oh, it's still going on. Like, that's different.
Right.
That's
all right.
Different.
Let's talk about Lemonade. I have something funny to play. You're going to love this. So the Fine Brothers on YouTube, you might know them. They got a bunch of old people to listen to Beyonce's Lemonade and comment on it. And they were all trying to figure out who Becky with the good hair is. Take a listen to this. And then we'll talk about Bey and Jay-Z.
Better call Becky with the good hair.
Oh, the good hair, yeah. I heard about that.
So she said put the middle finger up. You're out of here, dude.
I like the rhythm. I like the arrangement. I love it. I don't understand Becky with the good hair, though.
Okay, who's Becky with the good hair?
I don't know who Becky is. If that's a nickname for Rachel Roy, I don't know. Or there's probably other. If there's one, there's probably others, because now we know why Solange was so angry in the elevator.
Well, some believe that it has to do with the societal superiority put on white women's hair. Others believe that Becky refers to the woman Beyonce's husband, Jay-Z, allegedly cheated on her with.
Which is actually one of the reasons why I started wearing my hair natural, because I felt like, you know, it's time for black women to start realizing that there is no good hair, bad hair. Hair is hair.
Beyonce, baby, go pound it. Tell him. Tell him. Get rid of that Jay-Z rat. She's too good for him.
Oh, my God. I have to tell you, some of them didn't sound seniors. Some of them sound 40, 50 to me. What the hell are you people doing with that, calling them seniors? Okay. But don't you love the one who said, referenced Solange beating the hell out of Jay-Z in the elevator? Look, that's worldwide. Yes.
I loved it, and I agree. 100%. This is all, you know, a chronology or like, you know, the exposure of why that could have been happening. It was all, you know, what you call backstory for, could that be the Becky with the good hair situation that began with the smackdown, the beat down in the elevator?
I know, but you know, it just goes to show you how powerful pop culture is when even the seniors know about Solange.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
So I always tell people, and I get, you know, sometimes I get pushback. When I tell people, well, nobody knows you, and it doesn't mean nobody knows you. When I say nobody knows you, it means if my 77-year-old father doesn't know you, everyone doesn't know you. So when I say to my dad, do you know about the song Becky with the Good Hair? He would go, oh, yeah, that's Beyonce. If I said, Dad, who's Justin Bieber? He would know who that is. So if I say something to my dad and he doesn't know it, you're not popular enough yet. Like myself, nobody knows me, but you do. So like when I say everyone knows you, a 77-year-old needs to know you and a 5-year-old needs to know you and all in between. So, it crosses all ages and genders.
I love it. And just so that you know, you heard it here first, or maybe you already know it. There's talk that, of course, Jay-Z is working on his own Lemonade to tell his side of the story. And maybe he'll just call it Iced Tea or something. But it sounds like they're working on this together. Maybe they'll call it an Arnold Palmer. I don't know. But yeah.
Well, that'll work. And just so that you guys know, I'm going to let you guys in a little black humor. When we say Becky, don't forget the good hair part. We just say Becky. I don't, but, you know, I know that we do this in our culture. That's code for the person's wife.
Oh, okay. Look at you.
Becky, when we say, oh, yeah, Becky, oh, he was with Becky. He's with Becky. That's white. That's just what we say in the culture. So that means she's white.
Well, I learn something every week from you. Damn. All right, let's go to the Kanye West meltdown on Ellen the other day. Let's take a listen.
I feel that I can make
things better through my skill set. My skills, I'm an artist. 5 years old, art school, PhD, Art Institute of Chicago. I am an artist. I have a condition called synesthesia where I see sounds. I see them. Everything that I sonically make is a painting. I see it. When I make clothes, it's funny because I'll sit there with Obama and Leo's talking about the environment, and then I'm talking about clothes, and everyone looks at me like, that's not an important issue or something. But I remember going to school, like in fifth grade, and wanting to have a cool outfit. I called the head of Payless. I'm like, I want to work with you. I want to take all this information that I learned from sitting at all these fashion shows and knocking at all these doors and buying all this expensive clothes, and I want to take away bullying. So I literally have to be Michael Jackson of apparel in order to break open the doors for everyone that will come after I'm gone, after I'm dead, after they call me Wacko Kanye. Isn't that so funny? The people point fingers at the people who have influenced us the most. They talk the most about the people who cared the most. I'm sorry, daytime television. I'm sorry for the realness.
Fine line between genius and, you know, creative artist or wacko. I don't know.
Okay, first of all, I'm used to expensive people. I'm used to, you know, geniuses being a little cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Sure.
You know, Prince is a little cuckoo. You know, people who are cuckoo who are geniuses.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, for sure. Yes, yes. Ask Valerie.
However, Kanye, you're sorry for the realness? No, let me just correct the statement and add something to it. You're sorry for the real weed you've been smoking. You've been getting high. I can't say anything else, but boom, you've been smoking the K2 again? You sounded nuts.
Lisa, he sounds bipolar to me. That's fine. And I'm sure he is a genius, but he keeps talking about being the Michael Jackson. You tell me from your perspective. I'm just going to tell you what I think. I think his clothes are ugly. They're drab. They're brown. You know, it looks like 1984. He's not the Michael Jackson of fashion.
First of all, if you cared about the community, you would make clothes so expensive because these regular people you're talking about, you're helping, they can't even buy your clothes.
Thank you. Yes, $3,000 for a pair of Yeezys. Come on.
Shut up, mother clucker. See, I got to say that again. Shut up, mother clucker. Because first of all, I think it's Starberry. I think it's the guy Starberry. He made sneakers of all the basketball players out there who made sneakers with their name on them, you know, Jordans and other names with $200 sneakers. He was the only one that I know of that said, you know what, I'm not going to put my name on a pair of $300 sneakers so these inner city kids can kill each other for them. He made some $22.
That's right. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. And he felt like I'm popular enough where they would still want to wear the $22 strawberries. That's when you're giving back to the community.
Yeah. And so you'll love this. I have a it shouldn't matter, but a white friend who works at the Top 40 station here in town, and he has a connection, so he got a pair of Yeezys. Sure enough, he had a group of guys come after him. He got away because he was able to get into the radio station, but they were after him.
For Yeezys. So
yes.
Like, no.
Right.
That's a disaster. So you're full of crap. You really, you know what I'm saying lately? This is another phrase I'm making up. You've been tongue-kissing your own ego. That's what you're doing. You're tongue-kissing your own ego.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how much more that the Kardashian clan is going to be. Of course, they're nuts, too. Maybe it's a match made in heaven. Lisa Durden, you are a match made in heaven with the Drex Radio Show. Love you very much, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Well, thank you.
All right. Mucho amor, and thank you for listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, The Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.